What's up, Foos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
2 years ago, me and my best friend, V, were hanging out on Halloween night. We were roommates living in a small house, and both of us were on our last year of college. Obviously, we were too old to do any of the normal Halloween things, but we still wanted to do something. None of our more creative ideas really sounded good, and we ended up deciding on just making cookies and watching a scary movie. It was only 8, so most of the grocery stores were still open. I got in my car and drove down to the store to pick up some cookies to bake, along with frosting and some Halloween-themed sprinkles. As I was in the aisle, though, I noticed a man staring at me from the other end. I didn't look at him directly, but I could see in the corner of my eye that he was looking at me for the whole time I was in the aisle. Being that it was a holiday, the whole store was mostly empty, so seeing this guy being creepy like that was really unnerving. I quickly got what I needed and walked away, checking out and getting in my car. By the time I was out of the parking lot and onto the main road, I'd already forgotten about the man in the store. As I drove, there were very few cars out. I guess most people had already checked in for the night. I pulled into my street and parked on the driveway, but as I got out with the groceries, a car passed by the house. They were going really slow, like maybe 5 miles per hour. Their windows were tinted, so I couldn't see who was inside or what they were doing. But once they got past my driveway, they sped up and drove off, making it clear that they were purposefully going slow only by my house. It made me feel a little uncomfortable. I told V about it when I got inside, but he didn't seem to think much of it. We put the cookies in the oven and sat in the kitchen while they baked, talking about which movie we were going to watch, until the doorbell rang. We gave each other confused looks, then V got up and went to the door. I watched from the kitchen as he looked in the peephole for a second, then opened the door just a few inches. I heard V say something, then a few seconds passed before he closed the door and locked it. He turned around, looking even more confused than before, and walked back to the kitchen. I asked who it was and what they wanted. V said it was some guy, but when he asked what he needed, the guy didn't say anything, so V closed the door. Apparently, he was wearing a cheap plastic mask, but from the other features V described about him, it kind of sounded like the man I'd seen at the store. I didn't know if it was just me being paranoid, though. I got up and went to see for myself, walking quietly up to the door and looking out the peephole. No one was there anymore, but as I stayed and looked, I saw a car parked across the street, the same one that passed by earlier, now sitting right in front of our house. Its lights were off and didn't seem to be running. I told V, explaining everything and getting him to come look at the car, but then there was a thud that echoed through the house. We stopped and listened, hearing it again, coming from the basement. I walked over and opened the basement door, looking down the staircase as the thuds got louder, until it went quiet. There was a moment before there was the faint sound of footsteps shuffling through the basement. I shut the door softly without making any noise, and V was already calling the police. The basement door didn't have a lock on it, so I was just pressing my body against it and hoping for the best. The muffled footsteps went across the basement and to the bottom of the stairs, where they stopped. As I listened, the suspense made me more and more scared. V grabbed my shoulder and told me to come with him as he ran to the front and out of the house. We quickly got in my car and drove a few streets down, then waited for the police to arrive. When they did, nobody was inside. But the basement door was wide open, and in the basement were shoe prints coming from the window well that had been broken open. The car was gone, so the man had of course driven away, but it seemed like he left as soon as he noticed we weren't in the house anymore, because he didn't take anything. Whoever that guy was had followed me from the store, stalked us, and then broke in. We don't know why he did any of it, but I just hope that I never have to find out. It was 2018, and I was still in middle school at the time. Me and my friend group were really excited for Halloween, mostly because we knew this would probably be our last year trick-or-treating, since we were getting too old for it. Our school only had a half day, which was really nice, but we didn't meet up until 5. By then, the sun was starting to set, which got us all more in the mood to go running around and get as much candy as possible. There were 3 of us, all just wearing black clothes with random masks we'd found a couple days before. It was pretty low effort, but still enough to pass as trick-or-treaters. Anyway, we started by meeting at my house, then moved our way through the neighborhood. Our goal was to get to the other side of the neighborhood, where there were custom houses on a street where all the rich people lived. It was separated from the rest of the houses and quite the walk, but we knew that they'd have to be handing out full-sized candy. We stopped by most of the houses on the way there, taking us almost 2 hours before we got to the big houses. By then, most of the other kids had gone home, and the sidewalks were mostly empty. It was late, since we'd started a bit behind, but it wasn't so late that people would be going to bed or anything. As we walked up to each big house, though, we realized a mistake in our plan. All the houses were really far apart. It took probably 5 minutes of walking to each door, so we had to jog to every house just so we could get through them all in time. By the time we finished, the last few houses had all their lights off, and no more people were answering their doors. It was just past 9 p.m, so it was really dark out and really late. We all agreed it was time to go and head back to my house so we could watch some movies and eat some of the candy. But just as we began walking down the street, we saw a man walking toward us. It was way too dark to see what he looked like, but it was definitely an adult wearing a hood covering his face. And he was alone. It was just us and him on the road. We all felt a little weird that someone would be walking around like that on a holiday where kids were running around, so we moved over to the other side of the road. As we passed the man, he watched us from the other side. He tried to hide it, but it was pretty obvious he was looking right at us. This was really weird behavior, and none of us wanted to stick around, but we were all exhausted from having to run from house to house over the past couple hours. So we opted for just walking quickly and checking behind us to make sure we weren't being followed. After a few minutes, we felt like we'd put a good distance between us, but out of nowhere, my friend in front stopped abruptly, causing me to bump into him and stumble back. I jokingly called him a few choice words, but when I looked up, I immediately went quiet. There was a hooded man standing at the side of one of the houses ahead, hiding between the trees in the woods just outside of the reach of the streetlights. All we could see was his figure, but from the looks of it, it had to be the same man we'd just seen. He was just standing there, as if he was waiting for us to get closer. We were all whispering to each other as we stood in the road and tried to decide what to do, but there wasn't much to decide on. There was only one way out, which was the way we were heading. So we kept walking, keeping our eyes on the man. As we got closer and closer, just about to pass him, he started quickly walking out of the woods and toward us. All of us started running, making a break for the trees on the other side of the road. We stayed together, running into the woods in the direction that we hoped would lead to the other neighborhood. But the further in we got, the darker and more difficult to navigate it became, especially while running at full speed. After a minute or so, we realized the man had either lost us or stopped following. We took a moment to collect ourselves, leaning up against a tree. Only a minute passed before we heard footsteps in the leaves somewhere out in the woods nearby. We silenced our breathing as best we could and listened as they slowly moved through the dark, eventually fading out. We waited a bit to make sure it was safe, then hurried out of the woods and made it back to my house. None of us had the nerve to call the cops, but we didn't see any other kids outside on our way back, so hopefully they'd already gotten home. We don't know what that man was trying to do, but chasing us into the woods and continuing to try to find us only makes it more terrifying. We stopped going out for Halloween after that, but I still get chills thinking about that night. I'm 26, and this happened last Halloween. I live alone in a small house in a normal neighborhood, and every Halloween was always the same. A bunch of kids would come by for candy until around 7 or 8, and then I'd stay up and watch whatever movies were playing on TV. I was never much to celebrate or party. I actually preferred to just hand out candy and spend the night alone. On this day, kids started showing up around 3, and continued to flood in until 7. Then a few more groups slowly trickled in, before I figured it was slow enough to start watching some movies. I set down the bowl of candy and went over to the couch, turning on the TV and looking for a channel that had a good scary movie on. I scrolled around for a few minutes, but was interrupted by a knock at the door. I put the remote down and opened the door, holding the bowl of candy in my hand. When I opened it, though, I was surprised to see a man on the porch. No kids anywhere. Just a middle-aged man in regular clothes. It was unexpected, making me stutter for a moment before asking,
"How can I help you?"
The man looked at me, then looked behind me into my house.
"Is Aaron here?"
he said quietly. I asked who Aaron was, but the man didn't answer, and continued to try looking behind me. I asked again, and he finally looked back up at me, and said that Aaron was his son who was out trick-or-treating, but he's lost him. Strangely, he said it all with an emotionless gaze, then turned around and walked away from the door. I watched him, puzzled at what just happened. The man walked down to the sidewalk, then went out of view. I shut the door and stood there for a moment, collecting my thoughts. It was so bizarre, but something was definitely off. I got my phone and called the police, reporting a possible missing child, as well as the man's strange behavior. I made it clear I didn't know anything for sure, and just told the operator everything that happened. But obviously nothing was going to be done, unless something else came up. After getting off the phone, I checked out the door one more time, before going back to the couch and finding a movie. It was one of the Scream movies that had started a few minutes earlier. During the movie, there were no more trick-or-treaters or knocks at the door. By the end of it, it was nearly 11 and I was just about ready for bed. I stood up and turned to get the bowl by the door, but my eyes caught a glimpse of a figure in the window across the room. By the time I realized and shifted my eyes back, the figure was gone. I could feel my heartbeat in my chest, thinking about if they had been watching me this whole time. I slowly walked up to the window and peered outside, but didn't see anyone. Although I'd only caught a glimpse of them, I knew for sure that it was a person, so I was reasonably horrified. I backed away and went over to the front door, looking out the peephole. Nobody was out there. Getting even more nervous, I turned back around and suddenly saw an object slam against the outside of the window, forming a huge crack in the glass. A figure stood behind it, looking over at me before running toward the backyard. I quickly dialed 911 again and stayed in the hallway, looking all around at the windows. But after a minute passed, and then another, whoever was out there had left. Police did what they could, but there wasn't much I could help with. It looked like the person had smashed a rock or a tool against my window in an effort to break in, but other than that, their intentions are unknown. I keep trying to find the connection between the two incidents, the one with the man on my porch and the one by the window, but there's no real evidence showing it was the same person, other than the unusual way he was acting and looking into my house. There were also no reported cases afterward of any children gone missing, so what that man was really doing at my house remains a mystery.
It was Halloween. My friends and I got invited to this exclusive Halloween and haunted house party. I wasn't really the partying type, so I wasn't really interested in going to the party, but my friends forced me to go. We were grown, and not everyone was into wearing costumes, so masks were the minimum requirement. My friends got me a mask to use, so I wouldn't use it as an excuse to not attend the party. They dragged me to the venue, which was a few blocks away from our apartment. The house was nicely done. Gravestones and fake corpses were dangling from the trees by the sidewalk. There was a fake altar where it looked like nuns were about to sacrifice someone, in a place that had some kind of art done to make it look like the devil was trying to escape from a hole in the wall. The house was a large building, and you had to go through the haunted house to get to the party. My group had four of us in total. It was me and three of my friends. We all entered the haunted house almost as soon as we got there. There were a lot of flashing lights that hurt my eyes, so I had to close them. When I opened them again, I was the only one left in the room. The lights suddenly went off, and I was plunged into total darkness, until a row of lights leading up somewhere ahead appeared. I began to follow it, realizing it was my way forward, but I had barely taken five steps when I heard footsteps behind me. I turned around sharply to see an average height man in a mask standing behind me. I laughed, because I was thinking he had been part of the haunted house and was probably there to scare me. He brought his hand out of his hoodie pocket, and I could tell he was holding something, but I couldn't tell exactly what he was holding. I laughed nervously as I was starting to feel a bit uncomfortable. The man began to move closer to me, and I started moving backwards slowly as he approached me. He got close enough to me, and one of the lights reflected off the object in his hand, and I saw that it was a knife. "Oh man," I said, as he took a swing at me. I put my hand up in an attempt to block the knife, and I felt an extremely sharp pain as the knife bit into my arm. Then he took another swing, which I managed to dodge somehow, and I pushed him backward and took off running as I bled profusely. I continued to follow the light through a series of flashing horrors as I made my way to the main party where I could get help. As I reached the end of the haunted house and entered the party, my attacker jumped and threw me to the floor. Instinctively, I responded with my left elbow and caught him flush on the nose. I gave him another and pushed him off of me before jumping to my feet and screaming for help as my hand bled even more. People looked at us and laughed, thinking that we were a part of the show. The man pounced on me from behind again and stood over me with blood pouring from his nose, through the mask, and onto my shirt. He straddled me and sent the knife straight down towards my throat. I managed to stop it halfway, but not without letting it cut my palm. I shouted for help again, but no one came to my rescue, and the knife was coming dangerously close to my neck. One of my friends must have heard because his fist suddenly crashed into the man's masked face. The man recovered quickly just as my friend was taking another swing, and the attacker stabbed him in the stomach twice. He grunted and fell to the floor. And that was when the other guests realized that it wasn't part of the show and began screaming and backing away. The man jumped off of me and ran away as a few people came rushing towards me. I ended the night with 13 stitches and my friend ended up in the ER. Police caught the man and he was remorseful. He said he didn't understand what happened. He said that the flashing lights at the entrance of the haunted house had messed with his head, which is obviously just a horrible excuse. He would say anything to help him get into less trouble, I'm sure. I bet he's going to even try the insanity plea. I don't see that working out for him, though, if I'm being honest. This happened in a small town in Minnesota, and if it can happen here, it can happen anywhere. Be safe and have a fun Halloween this year, everyone. The vaguely lit streets were cheering with decorations and teeming with excited kids and teenagers in high spirits as they raced from house to house and street to street trick-or-treating. Every kid on the block was out on the street having the time of their life and collecting weeks' worth of candy from their neighbors. Everyone was out there having fun, except for me. I had gotten trouble in school and I had been grounded for 2.5 weeks, Halloween included. All I could do to keep myself from dying of boredom was to watch the trick-or-treaters from my bedroom window. It was the night of a new moon, so the sky was pitch black and starless, with a few clouds lazily floating by. There might not have been any moonlight, but it was hard to notice with all the street lamps and the lights from all the decorations. Each front porch had a variety of hand-carved jack-o'-lanterns brought to life by candles and other sources of lighting. Each house tried to outdo the others in the level of decorations on and around their houses. Plastic skeletons were hanging from trees and hiding behind doorposts. Cackling witches stood guard like sentries on the roof of a few houses, and some houses even incorporated fog machines into their decorations. My house wasn't left out either. There were a couple of animatronic spiders moving up and down the walls. We didn't have a fog machine, but there were rubber snake traps on the lawn and hidden in the grass that jumped out and hissed whenever they were stepped on. There was also a lifelike scarecrow on the front porch. I didn't know why my dad had set it up, but I liked it. It gave our house a unique look compared with the neighbors, and it was indeed scary looking. It was as tall as an adult man and had a large jack-o'-lantern head. It wore tattered clothing, which sort of looked like a bunch of old dirty rags, and had a large fake hatchet strapped to its back. It still would have been creepy if it wasn't carrying an axe, though. It just stood out in a sinister way. Even some of the little kids that were trick-or-treating refused to walk up to our door and ask for candy. I'm guessing because the scarecrow scared them. But I wondered why my dad had not made it face the street. That would have been even scarier for people walking by. Instead, it watched over the house with its carved-out eyes. My mom called me to come and help her set the dinner table, and I finally left the window and the scarecrow. While I was helping her set up, she looked outside the window and called for my dad. "Honey, did you move the scarecrow?" she asked him casually. "No," my father replied. "Did someone take it or something?" she asked, while looking out the window just in case it had been stolen. "Where did you get it, by the way? It looks almost too real," she said. My dad suddenly paused and looked at her with a puzzled look. "You're joking, right?" he said. "I didn't put a scarecrow there. I don't have a clue as to what you're talking about." "Stop joking, Gary. I'm starting to get creeped out," my mom said a little bit frightened. "I'm not," my dad said and hurried to the window to see if there was a scarecrow or not. He opened the door and looked outside, but my mom was right. The scarecrow was no longer on the front porch. And that's when my mom screamed, pointing at the back door. I turned around and saw a large jack-o'-lantern head through the see-through portion of the back door. Without thinking, I lunged for the door and turned the lock, just as the scarecrow was about to turn the handle. Up close, I could see the human skin under the jack-o'-lantern in the ragged clothes. It wasn't a decoration at all. It was a real human being in a scarecrow costume. He grabbed his axe that was strapped to his back, of which I originally thought to be a fake axe, and took it out and took a lunge at the door, making my mom scream even more. The heavy blade bit into the door, and he pulled it out and took another swing. My dad ran into my parents' room, and he came back with his shotgun. He cocked it and took a shot at the door, blowing large chunks off of it. A few of the pellets must have hit him, because he grunted in pain and then took off running, leaving a large amount of blood behind. I wondered what would have happened if I had not locked the door in time, or if my father didn't own a shotgun. The police never caught him, as far as I'm aware. and my family has been completely traumatized by this whole ordeal ever since. I have been way more wary of street decorations since then, and every Halloween since that Halloween, I haven't went out trick-or-treating, which would be 2 years in a row now that I've missed. I don't think I'll be going this year either, unless a few of my friends will go with me.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.